The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Wednesday, July 28th, and we are in the middle of training camp firing up around the NFL. This will be a training camp news and notes podcast with the super friends, Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
Hey, hey, hey.
I feel like our friendship is extra super the week that the teams reported training camp.
Sure, I'll buy that. It's, you know, the harsh reality of us spending all of our time together is certainly starting to seep in.
What do you mean?
Well, versus again, this has been a very fast offseason. I've seen other people agree with that. But, you know, I mean, we're about to spend a lot of late evenings together. Ow, chicka, wow, wow.
Yeah, I mean, I've come to accept that realization, and therapy and meditation have helped me in the past, and I would assume it will help me going forward.
I guess we have been doing this for like a decade plus, Wilson.
And the good thing is you can expense the therapy from hanging out with Brinson. I found that out.
That's right. And Breach, if you have to go to therapy because Wilson shamed you out of taking your vacation, that'd be it.
Newsflash, I'll be on vacation next week too, so sorry.
In the feed,
spending his week with his therapist.
In the feed, you can check out a rousing conversation on Aaron Rodgers' return to the Packers with our pal Jonathan Jones coming up. Much more training camp coverage. And don't forget to listen to this week's episode of All Things Covered to hear Patrick Peterson put his old boss. Oh, no.
Your guy.
Hi, my guy. He put him on blast. Tune in to find out why Pat P lost all respect for him and something kind did that he thought was completely bogus. It's an explosive, scintillating episode of All Things Covered that also features a probable top five pick in next year's draft, Derek Stingley Jr. So go download and follow All Things Covered wherever you find this podcast.
Hey, let me ask quickly, Debo, can you give a teaser on this? Because I'm actually curious. I haven't listened to it yet. Now I'll have to.
Stingley is a stud.
No, not on Stingley. Yes, he is, but on Steve Kime.
Was he ripping?
And when I write explosive, like I mean pretty explosive, like Pat kept going and I was like, whoa, like, you know, this is going to be headlines as you enter training camp. He just needed to get it off his chest, but it had to deal with how Kime handled Pat P's free agency. And it wasn't necessarily about not giving him a deal, but how he went about it, not giving him a deal. Mm.
All right. Looking forward to that.
Very interesting.
Breach, do you think it was similar to or completely different from the situation Brinson went through when he got his new deal?
Very similar.
I'm trying to do the
math. Are you Pat P? No, you're not.
No, I'm trying to do the math. I guess Steve was not the GM. I guess it was Rod Graves who drafted Pat P. That's how long Pat P was in Arizona.
Yeah, because he's, I think, 30 now.
But Kime was with the organization. He's been with Arizona his whole career.
It's the only organization he's ever been
right,
with.
Right. So he was, you know, it's not like there's familiarity there. It's not like he came in and was like, oh, you weren't my guy, I don't want you. It's
he was the scout that drafted Pat P, and then thanks to
Costello, he was either in pro personnel, or I think he was in player personnel. So yeah, I mean, he was heavily involved in the Pat P thing, but he was maybe more of a guy who focused on the veterans, you know, and adding them through not necessarily through the draft process, but he was for some period of time, I believe, the director of college scouting. So I'm sure he had his hand involved in it.
What year is Pat Pete drafted?
2011.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right.
Along with Cam Newton, AJ Green, Julio Jones,
Andrew Gregory Dalton.
Yes. Yeah, so, well, we're talking about first rounders.
Oh, we should have been a first rounder. Dunk on you.
Yeah, that's a great comeback. Brinson, he should have been a first rounder. That is a dunk on you, sir.
That's a fantastic comeback.
He should have been. He wasn't even the Bengals' first draft pick in that draft.
What?
Nor should he have been.
Oh, he missed. Oh, and he may have pulled a hamstring or a muscle. Yeah, a little... And there is complete elation.
Oh, they wanted to draft Randy Bullock in the first.
But didn't he end up having more playoff appearances than any other QB from that draft?
How many did he win?
We're not here to talk wins. We're not here to talk nuts and bolts.
Appearances. That's worse than he didn't win one.
What?
Can you imagine the
first playoff appearances of any quarterback in that draft class, and he didn't win a single one?
What? Would you rather have $1 million 5 times in your life and go bankrupt every time, or never have $1 million?
Nah, I'm fine with
it. Have $1 million every time.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm without. Dude, Breach is like,
that's not a comparison.
I just needed you to agree with me. That's it.
That's not even an accurate.
By the way, that's how Breach ended every high school debate when he was on the debate team. I just need you to agree with me. That's it. Gotcha.
Breach is like a little like squid. Like he squirts a bunch of ink in your face. And you just get confused and you don't know what to say.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I just needed you to agree with me. Thanks. Moving along.
That's right. He's not so much into debating the facts. It's just misdirection and confusion.
That's correct. General chicanery. All right, let's move on to talk about the biggest story of the offseason. And one
more before we do quickly, I want to point out one of the comments we got recently on the Apple podcast is that we waste too much time getting into things. So right before we get into Sean Watson, I wanted to point out that we were wasting too much time getting into Sean Watson.
But we're talking about Aaron Rodgers first, but
even worse. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I mean, we're trying to get inside 5 minutes here. We got to six, but you know, what are you gonna do?
It's close.
Aaron Rodgers shows up to camp. He actually showed up to camp in a very cool homage t-shirt. Is it homage? Homage?
Yeah, homage. Yeah,
homage t-shirt.
Homage is right.
Yeah. Homage.com or homage, whatever it is. HOMAGE. I don't know if they pronounce it the same way as the word. I would assume they do. They make awesome shirts. They make great shirts. And this is a particular one. It's an NBA Jam thing with Kevin from The Office and a big bowl of chili. And Rodgers showed up wearing those, some gigantic sunglasses, his hair in a little man bun. This guy looks like he's been microdosing all offseason long, and that's perfectly fine. And you know, I think if you're the Packers, you're happy you got your man. So I will ask you guys this. As we covered on the JJ podcast, by the way, Rodgers is going to get a reworked contract. He's going to play in 2021, for the Packers. They have voided, as Adam Schefter of ESPN first reported, the 2023 year in his contract, and they're going to figure out some way, and we can get into the mechanics of this, but some way to ensure that he is traded if he wants to be traded next offseason or go to a different team, and he will be able to pick his team according to reports and what's coming out of Green Bay. So I will ask you this, Breach. Who won the Aaron Rodgers offseason situation?
I think based on what we know right this second, Aaron Rodgers definitely didn't win. So I don't know that I'm going to call the Packers a winner, but I think you can't look at the full scope of everything until after next season, because if following the 2021 season, Aaron Rodgers gets traded to the Patriots or the Saints or some awesome
Broncos.
Some awesome team that he could win a Super Bowl with. Because these teams can plan for him now, and now they'll have, you know, built up trade compensation that they can go out and get him. So if he gets traded after 2021 to a team he wants and maybe wins another Super Bowl, then you can say this all worked out for him, because he's going to make this the last dance season with the Packers, have a good chance of winning the Super Bowl, and then continue with another team like he wants to and maybe win a Super Bowl. So Aaron Rodgers could win this, but right now I'd say the Packers are in the lead, and that's because, look, they have Aaron Rodgers in camp.
The lead. Who won?
I don't know what race he's watching. Go ahead.
The Packers have their star quarterback in camp. They know they're going to get rid of him after 2021, which is, this timeline had to happen no matter what, Because if it doesn't, then you're just wasting Jordan Love's contract. If Aaron Rodgers had stuck around past 2021, then you completely Reach. What?
Using that logic, that the Patriots should have never drafted a quarterback while Tom Brady was there. He just kept.
Yeah, they didn't trade up in the first round of the draft to take a quarterback while Tom Brady was there, Ryan. So that's what the Packers did.
You make one mistake by getting rid of Aaron Rodgers down the road so you can mask the other mistake of trading up for Jordan Love.
Well, they're not saying that's a mistake. The Packers do not think. I'm saying from the Packers' mind frame, you get Aaron Rodgers for a season. If you trade Aaron Rodgers after 2021, you're going to get a bunch of draft picks in return. You're going to have your starting quarterback set. We don't know if Jordan Love's any good. You're not giving Aaron Rodgers any more money. And really, the only thing you did here was void a 2023 season that he wasn't going to be here to play anyway. So I don't see how you could call the Packers losers here.
I think Aaron Rodgers is a winner. He came in on his own terms. Mark,
what terms?
Mark, he gets out of here after next year.
He gets Randall Cobb. That's the only term he's gotten.
He gets out next year. He gets every bit of the money he was going to have coming to him. He made Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst have to basically sing his praises during the shareholders meeting on Monday. And then he comes moonwalking back wearing that dumb T-shirt and those Doc Brown glasses from Back to the Future and a man bun. I mean,
that's where the glasses were from. Good call.
Yeah. And here's the other thing. You said this, I think, last week, Breach. Brett Favre, there's still some sort of sour grapes, but there's some ill will between Brett Favre and the Packers, the fans, about the way he left and kept unretiring and retiring and sort of making things difficult for Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is getting a clean break now, and there's not going to be any ill will towards him. It'll be towards the organization should he get traded to Denver or wherever, and then Jordan Love ends up being terrible. I think Aaron Rodgers comes out looking much better than had he decided to be a jerk and just hold out just to be for the sake of being a jerk.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just don't think that makes him the winner. I don't think that makes him the winner.
It does. I don't think the Packers are the winner.
It makes him a winner over Brett Favre.
What? Look, Aaron Rodgers gets to play. This is the best place for Aaron Rodgers to play in 2021. The Packers went 13-3 the last 2 years.
He's playing for a team he didn't want to play for at all.
Who cares if he wins a title? He won't care. He'll be thrilled. It'll be second Super Bowl title.
And if he doesn't win a title, or if it doesn't even make it to the NFC title game, then is the season a failure?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of teams would say that.
Well, if you have Aaron Rodgers, you've been in the NFC title game 2 years in a row, and all of a sudden you get knocked out in the divisional round of the playoff. It's just they have a very high bar. He's playing for a team he didn't want to play for. How are you a winner if you're playing for a team you don't want to play for?
He never said anything during the offseason. Do we know he didn't want to play for him?
He likes the team, and he likes Matt LaFleur. He hates ownership, a.k.a. Mark Murphy, and he doesn't like the GM, Brian Gutekunst, because they drafted Jordan Love and spited him and then wouldn't give him what he wanted. And then he asked, he said, I want to get out on my own terms, and they let him do that. That's exactly what this contract does. It lets him leave on his own terms. He gets one more year in Green Bay, and then he can find a new place to play, unless maybe he wins a Super Bowl and he decides to stay. He gets to do this on his own terms. I don't see why people think like Prisco was so easy.
No, because he's playing for Green Bay this year. Those aren't his own terms. In his ideal world, he is not playing for the Packers this year.
Do we know that though?
It was pretty clearly reported multiple times by multiple reporters at multiple networks.
They want to keep Rodgers here, so sure. But they weren't going to trade him.
Let me ask you this. Did Aaron Rodgers want to play in Green Bay in 2021?
I think if the Packers said, we will release you from your contract, Aaron Rodgers would not be playing in Green Bay in 2021.
Here's my point simply. The Packers got what they wanted. Aaron Rodgers is going to be their quarterback this year. Aaron Rodgers did not get what he wanted. He wanted out right now. He has to play quarterback for this team that he didn't want to play for.
I don't think it's a clear cut one side wins. I mean,
I'm not convinced. Like Aaron Rodgers, I've been saying this whole time, and I was the 5% guy that he was going to even play at all this year for the Packers, but I'm not convinced he just wasn't being vindictive. And like we had said in previous weeks, he wanted to see Murphy and Gutekunst squirm at the shareholders meeting. And then miraculously, he came moonwalking back in. Apparently, I think Schefter or someone else reported that his agent and the team were actually negotiating the concessions, quote unquote, that we are now talking about during the actual shareholders meeting. But I feel like if Aaron Rodgers didn't want to do something, he wouldn't have done it. This wasn't like Deshaun Watson showing up at Houston not to get fined, which is what he did with the no intention of playing this year for the Texans. I just feel like I just don't feel like Aaron Rodgers lost.
Yeah, I didn't say he lost. That's how I started my whole thing. I said, I don't think there was a loser, but I don't think Aaron Rodgers is the winner.
Well, I think both sides probably won in what is ultimately considered a realistic compromise. The Packers weren't going to trade him. Aaron Rodgers realized that. Aaron Rodgers did not want to play for the Packers after this year. The Packers realized that. So they found a nice middle ground. But, I mean, given the way that the NFL operates and how often teams get what they want versus what players get what they want, I feel like, I mean, the Packers had as JG pointed out yesterday, why couldn't the Packers just be like, no, you're playing. We're not shaving off your contract. We're not giving you more money. We're not giving you what you want. Rodgers got some.
He also, yeah, I mean, exactly. Why are they trading for Randall Cobb reportedly? I mean, you say no, show up and play if you don't care about how the, you know, Aaron Rodgers' feelings or whether he may actually.
That's really the big concession they got. Aaron Rodgers like, look, you guys have been screwing me over with all these moves. We, you know, we've listed the moves, whether it's cutting some of Rodgers' friends, whether it was cutting Jake Kumerow the day after Aaron Rodgers said this guy has looked awesome in training camp. Those have been some issues, are the personnel issues. And I'm sure that was Rodgers. This is like putting his foot down and saying, look, if there's any chance I'm coming back, you got to get my boy Randall Cobb in here. And you got to prove to me that you're going to at least listen to what I'm saying. And so
how did Rodgers not win if that's the case?
Because he's playing for the team he doesn't want to play for.
He didn't take a pay cut. He gets to get out a year early.
He's not making any more money. He's making the same amount.
He's one of the highest paid players in the league, Breach. I mean, they offered him a new deal previously. He turned it down. So it's not like he couldn't have gotten more money. I feel like if they didn't care about him, they'd say, be here or we'll find you.
I think Aaron Rodgers would prefer to play somewhere else. Don't get me wrong. But I think he's okay. This gives him the best chance to win a Super Bowl and then turn around and be like, F you, well, I'm out.
Do you think he'd leave if he won a Super Bowl?
I don't know the answer to that.
Do we know we don't know if he's going to get a no trade clause. What if the Packers ship him off to Houston next March? Then is Aaron Rodgers a winner?
The way that it's been framed is that Aaron Rodgers will have the ability to decide where he plays next year. Now,
and by the way, he is not a winner if he gets traded to Houston, just so we're clear.
Now, let me just ask you that, Brinson, because you know, like I've read those reports also, and if you're framing it that way, and I cannot imagine there's any situation where Green Bay is going to cut him and let him pick because then they get no compensation in return. So I think this is going to have to be a trade. And if you're letting Rodgers pick, say the Patriots are willing to offer one first-round pick because Belichick is stingy, but they want Rodgers, but they're not going to overpay. And the Texans call up and say, we'll give you three first-round picks. Like, you think the Packers are going to placate Rodgers and say, yeah, we told you you would go wherever you wanted. Nah, we're taking the three first-round picks that Houston offered us because that's way better. You know, so like it's dicey. It's just a dicey thing.
So this is what I mentioned to JJ too. And I would anticipate that this gets built in at some point, like this gets leaked out at some point once the actual details of the restructured contract come out. Well, who knows how long it'll take to actually put that together. They've clearly come together on a framework for it. But I would anticipate that what you see built into the new restructured contract is some sort of mechanism to force the Packers' hand, which would mean that I don't know if it'd be a no trade clause or it's a trade approval.
Or like the poison pill, where you have a huge amount of money become guaranteed at a certain point that the Packers would have to get rid of him before that.
Or if he's not traded, if he's still on the Packers roster by 3 days before the new league year in 2022 starts, his 2022 contract year automatically voids. In other words, that gives the Packers not a full year, but, you know, I mean, 9 months, give or take, to line up a suitor to come get Rodgers. And then the thing about this is he might want to go to Denver. He definitely doesn't want to go to Houston, but if the Dolphins come calling, Tua looks okay, or Tua's not good, or the Panthers come calling, or the Patriots come calling, there's going to be this is a good point by JJ. There's a lengthy amount of time for all of these teams who might want to come get Rodgers to put together packages. And so I would guess that there's something in the contract where Rodgers has to sign off on it. It's not going to be, you know, he's going to be motivated to play well this season. This is where it's a win-win for both sides because
he's never not motivated, though. It's never a situation where he's had a lot of stuff happen to him off the field and he doesn't show up with a chip on his shoulder and just goes off.
Right, but what I'm saying is that if he comes out this season and goes off like he did last season, or even, 70% of what he did last season, 80% of what he did last season, there are going to be a lot of teams that want to get him for 2021 because, you know, he's going to come back motivated to screw the Packers over. So I think it's not going to be a shortage of teams willing to offer something in exchange for Aaron Rodgers. And while I do agree with your point that the Texans could, here's five first round picks, even though they don't have them, I think there'll be mechanisms built in to force the Packers' hand if Aaron Rodgers wants him forced, and to ensure that Aaron Rodgers isn't going somewhere he doesn't want to go. And the reason I believe that is what we've seen from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers is that they kind of screwed him over before. He signed this most recent contract thinking,
yes,
oh, it's a great deal for everybody. And then they're like, JK, we got Jordan Love. And so I would expect that he's not going to do this on a gentleman's handshake agreement type of thing.
Right. And one other interesting thing is by the time people listen to this podcast on Wednesday, there's a chance we'll know the answer to this question, but this contract is not hammered out yet. We saw Schefter tweeting about it on Monday. It is now, a full day and a half later. There's no contract in hand yet. Aaron Rodgers hasn't signed anything as of late Tuesday afternoon. And so we don't know the details. We don't know if he's going to have a no trade clause. We don't know how the mechanisms are going to be put in place so that guarantees the Packers have to trade him somewhere that he wants to go, that he's going to have the final say over. And so once all those things come out, if he gets everything he wants in that situation, then he becomes even more of a winner. But I think we do all agree that neither sides are a loser here. But who's a loser? Blake Bortles.
Oh, you stole it. I was going to steal your joke and use it against you. Blake Bortles got cut. That's what Breach is saying. I didn't know he's the backup, to be honest with you. So is Jordan Love, is Tim Doyle still on the team, I wonder? Is that the Doyle that's on there? I can't remember.
Yeah, he was the backup last year.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, the goal of the Bortles thing was just to give him somebody with playing experience who could bail them out.
No one thought he was going to be the starter. But Doyle's gone. Dang it. Kurt Pinkert's still there, and Jacob Dolagala is on the roster. You know where Jacob Dolagala played? If you know this, Brinson, I'll give you $5 because you might know it. Then I'd be feel bad if I said $100.
I'm not going to pan. I'm not going to play little games if it's just for.
Jacob Dolagala.
He used to play for the Bengals.
Oh, he did. He did.
I know that. Dino's I don't know where college? He went to college though. Now,
is this a good time to point out that before this podcast, you guys tried to mock me? You and Debo were trying to have a little fun at my expense. We're like,
we had a great time.
Name this rapper. Who's this rapper? And I asked for it to be played three times, which is standard for spelling.
So you could fire up Shazam. Go ahead.
Fire up Shazam. Ridiculous. I need to listen to it, pay attention to it. And then I said, what year was it? You gave me the year and bam, nailed it.
Central Connecticut State. That's where he went.
Oh, I would not have gotten that.
No.
By the way, I don't know. I hope that Mike Florio didn't cost everybody too many people too much money.
He didn't know. He said Vegas, and Vegas is who you should say. I hope they didn't cost people too much money because they actually were taking bets that he wasn't coming back, I believe, right?
So I went and I was able to get down some money on the Packers right when this news broke on a.
Hold on a second. Finish this thought, then I have a question for you.
On a website.
That's fine. What'd you get?
Here's what I got. I'm going to say this in units because it's rude to discuss monetary dollars. Let's see, where are they? I got I ended up getting to win 10 units, Packers to win the NFC North. Do you know what it was at?
You can't just say $10. What was it at?
Plus 225.
So, Breach, let me ask you something. Do you remember the first ice cold Bud Light take that Brinson had?
Yeah. I'm firmly against that now, obviously.
I do not. I would love for you to refresh my memory.
It has something to do with yelling and screaming about no matter whether Aaron Rodgers comes back, the Minnesota Vikings and Kirby Cousins are going to win the division.
Oh, I do remember that. And so, but now, if he still stands by that take, now's the time to bet them. Now that we know Rodgers coming back, the Vikings odds are you're going to make more money if the Vikings win the
division. I was going to say he should donate.
I also got a full unit in on the Green Bay Packers to win the Super Bowl. Would you like to guess what the odds were?
You just gave up on the
ball. I would say 25-1 plus 2,500 would be my guess.
Wait, that was right before or right after the news?
Before the Rodgers news.
40-1.
What?
Yes.
Good Lord.
I can actually cash it out for, because this particular website offers a cash out option. I can cash it out for double my money right now. Should I do it?
Yes. You cash it out and put it on the Vikings.
How many
put
units
your money where your mouth is, Brinson.
How many units did you invest? And units stands for dollars.
I have a full unit invested on the Packers to win the Super Bowl. And 4.5 units invested on the Packers to win the division.
Hmm.
I can cash the Packers unit out for, if I put down 2.22 units, I can cash it out for 3.71 right now.
So let's do you actually think the Packers are going to win the Super Bowl? Because if not, I would cash it out, take the winnings, and bet those on two longer shot teams that you think. So now you have two, you spread your bets out with pure profit.
So I think it's like basically an algorithm how this works, because now they have odds on Aaron Rodgers' next team 2022 up on this website.
I'd take Denver right now.
Denver's 4-1, Packers 6-1, 49ers 8-1, Rams 10-1, Pats 15-1, Raiders 15-1, The Steelers are really interesting.
They don't have the money.
What do you mean they don't have the money?
I guess you can find the money. Have a year to figure it out.
I mean, if you're Pittsburgh and you put together a packet, it's in the AFC. It's a team that's going to compete for a championship, probably year in and year out with the talent base that they have on that roster.
I would love to have him as a starting quarterback, but are you giving up 3 first round picks for 38-year-old at the time Aaron Rodgers? He'll be 38 in December.
I think you get away with 2. I'll just pack 3 for him.
I don't know.
Here's the thing. Is it Aaron? If we need to see the contract details when they come out, because if Aaron Rodgers does have control over where he goes and can ultimately, you know, squash offers from Houston or whoever else, that minimizes where the 49ers have no business being on this list.
All right. Let me ask you this. Is anyone right now giving up 2 first round? Anyone right now giving up 2 first round picks for Tom Brady?
Yeah.
You think so?
I don't know.
He's 44, whatever he is.
What about 1 first round pick and Ben Roethlisberger?
Tom Brady would get murdered in Pittsburgh behind that offensive line. He wouldn't stand a chance.
But this is sort of my point, is that when you give this amount of time, when you open it up, it creates more opportunities for teams to jump in. The Steelers have the 49ers just drafted Trey Lance. They have no business being on this list unless they're trading. But
this is why Aaron Rodgers, in my mind, is also a winner. More teams can now compete.
For sure.
And if he's allowed to pick,
if you're the Packers, you probably still don't want to have them in the NFC. So I do think there is going to be a list where the Packers say, look, you can go to almost any team, but here's our list of teams we're not going to trade you to, because they're not just going to agree. They're going to trade them to the Vikings.
Would they trade them to Detroit? Because I would.
I mean,
3 first round picks?
Yeah, I mean, the Rodgers wouldn't.
No, the Packers. If I'm the Packers, I'm like, yeah, absolutely.
Detroit. Lions are 100-1 to get Aaron Rodgers. The only teams with lower odds are the Bills and the Chiefs. Bills 150-1, Chiefs 200-1.
I mean, the Chargers aren't going to trade for him. The Bengals aren't going to trade for him.
Breach, would you trade Joe Burrow for Aaron Rodgers in a first round pick?
No.
You get a first round pick back with Aaron Rodgers, or you?
No, I'm sorry. The Burrow and a first rounder for Aaron Rodgers.
Like, the Bengals are giving up a first round pick and Joe Burrow to get Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
No.
Would you do that, Brinson?
No, I would want a first-round pick with Aaron Rodgers back for Joe Burrow.
Well, you just said he's going to get 2 first-round picks.
And you know what's funny? You mentioned the Steelers.
Burrow?
Let me ask you this. Do you think the Browns would be interested?
He's going to play. Baker's going to play well this year.
Baker doesn't have a contract extension. What if he struggles? What if he's average? Doesn't struggle. Not great. He's just average in 2021.
Also, the only hesitation, old school Browns, absolutely. But like analytics Browns, I don't know if Sashi Brown, for example, would think that would make sense.
That's fair, but I do think you can make the case that
Buddy Ken Carmen will probably hear this and weigh in. I'd be interested to hear what he thinks.
Ken Carmen does hear it. I think you make the case that you would rather have Aaron Rodgers for 2 peak years than and again, this is not assuming. I think Baker will be very good this year.
Would you rather pay Aaron Rodgers $40 million or Baker Mayfield $40 million?
Yeah.
Yeah, but again, you got to figure things out in 2 years after that, though. Because you can sign Baker for 5 years or 4 years, whatever it is. So,
one more thing that sort of dovetails into this, too. After this season, Jordan Love will be eligible for an extension. And it's entirely likely that he'll never have taken a single meaningful snap in a regular season game. That's a bit of a bugaboo as well. a boggle, if you will. Okay. I watched Demolition Man recently. That's when.
What'd you watch?
Demolition Man.
You know, oh, my gosh.
I don't think it's after the 2022 season, Brenton. You have to play for 3 years.
Oh, this is just the second year, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Feels like it's been. Yeah. Like
so they, but I mean, it's still an issue because even if you trade Aaron Rodgers, you're only going to have one season of Jordan Love. And, you know, like if he's average, it's basically his rookie year because it's his first year playing. And then you have to make a decision of whether, you know, pick up his fifth year option, give him an extension. It's going to get a little dicey.
I mean, the bottom line is whether or not you think Aaron Rodgers won or the Packers won or whoever else it is, Maud in Beulahville, Wisconsin won.
She won.
The Packers botched this.
Not according to Breach.
By giving Aaron Rodgers his extension and then drafting Jordan Love when they thought Aaron Rodgers was done. They misevaluated the entire Aaron Rodgers situation from start
to end. I keep hearing that. Why do they think Aaron Rodgers is done again?
He wasn't great in 2018.
All right.
Or 2019, excuse me.
Okay.
But it was a first year with Matt LaFleur, and he hadn't been great in 2018. I think, remember, Bull Bleeper wrote that story where Aaron Rodgers wasn't a top 10 quarterback coming into 2020.
And then he got fired and had to go to law school. We know how that turned out.
Exactly. He got fired and had to go to law school.
Well, I mean, they did go 6-9-1 in 2018. And although Rodgers, 25 touchdown passes, 2 interceptions, you know, some people could say, oh, his numbers were crazy. But, okay, well, if his numbers were crazy, why were they so bad? And I think the biggest knock on him in 2018 was that he was just so hesitant. You know, he only threw 2 interceptions, and part of the reason was that he was just afraid to throw interceptions, it seemed like. He was throwing the ball away all the time. And I think the Packers were just thinking, hey, we got a new head coach. Maybe it's time to get some new blood in here. And then, you know, I don't know how you justify drafting. You know, if they had drafted Jordan Love after that 6-9-1 season, nobody's saying anything because it would have made sense. But then you go 13-3 with a new head coach with Rodgers who, you know, looks good. And then you draft Jordan Love. That's why it doesn't make sense.
Also, they had just given him, like, he wasn't going anywhere until after this season. So you don't draft Jordan Love after the 2019 season. You draft him after the 2020 or 2021 season. You know, I mean, like at the 2020 at the earliest, because you know, based on the contract that you gave Aaron Rodgers, how long he is definitely going to be with the team. So wait one more year. Now, the only tangential benefit of the contract and the Jordan Love draft, and this seems unfair to give the Packers credit for, because it's basically like a blind hog finding an acorn. They managed.
Wait, what's that from? I just heard that. I heard that yesterday.
My dad says it all the time.
Oh, because I've always heard blind squirrel. I heard blind hog yesterday. Can't remember where I heard it. All right, go ahead.
The only benefit is that the Packers managed to motivate Aaron Rodgers into having an MVP season. Like, do you think he would have had as good a year last year, regardless of Jordan Love?
Yes. Okay. I think he's motivated by vindictiveness. We've said that before. Sure. He would have found something to piss him off.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't think he was. I mean, it was a second year with a new head coach and a new system after playing in one system his entire career in Green Bay. So sure, it's entirely possible. And as a result, the Packers botched this. That's the bottom line.
Do hogs eat acorns?
Yes, blind. Right. Anyway,
never seen that.
Coming up after the break, what will happen with Deshaun Watson? We will tell you next.
I'm Trey Wingo. And I'm Kevin Frazier. We're teaming up on a new weekly sports podcast from Wondery, Alternate Routes.
As former SportsCenter anchors and current sports obsessives, we're consumed by all the what-if questions that make being a sports fan so excruciatingly fun.
If you're like us, then you also live and die on the fallout from every drop pass, busted draft pick, and game-changing play.
Or play call.
Intercepted at the goal line by Malcolm Butler.
Sorry, Marshawn, still too soon. Each week on Alternate Routes, we'll take a flashpoint in sports, break down what actually happened, then explore every alternate scenario and the ripple effects it would have caused.
Follow and listen to Alternate Routes on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
I mean, the possibilities are limitless, Kevin.
What if Portland drafted Michael Jordan?
What if the NBA never vetoed the Chris Paul trade to the Lakers? That's
the
butterfly effect
for real. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community.
With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Deshaun Watson's weird. So obviously Deshaun Watson and his situation, it is a delicate tightrope to walk, not just as teams that are interested in trading for him, not just for teams, not just for the Texans trying to trade him, but also, you know, look, when you're analyzing the NFL, it is a difficult thing to talk about because, like, it is like is always the case with these matters. There's sort of two silos here. There's the football silo, which is a part of this. This is a football podcast. We are going to talk about football and how it relates to, you know, what they're going to do on the field. There's also the, you know, obvious human silo of this and what's going on off the field and the allegations that have been brought against Deshaun Watson in civil complaints. And so it's really hard to talk about it because you start to go into the football part of it, which is what we're going to do. And then you find yourself, I mean, at least I do. I know what I do on radio. You find yourself wanting to be like, well, just by the way, like, of course, what's going on off the field is a bigger deal. But it, you know what I mean? It's a difficult thing to talk
about. Well, I think the problem is that when you talk about it, not you, but really anybody talking about the Deshaun Watson situation, is that it can come across like you're downplaying what is happening off the field. And no one is trying to do that. You know, let's be clear. He is facing 22 separate civil lawsuits that are alleging sexual misconduct and or sexual assault. He now has 10 criminal complaints filed against him with the Houston police. 8 of them are people who filed a lawsuit against him. 2 of them are people who are not involved in these lawsuits, just 2 separate people. And so that's where we are. Is Deshaun Watson has a very complicated legal situation right now. And it's complicated in the sense that it complicates his football future. It complicates his off the field, he's in this box, and you know, nobody knows how this is going to end up.
No, that's right. And yeah, the fact that we don't talk about the off-field stuff doesn't mean that we don't think it's serious. We don't know a lot. And honestly, at least for me, I don't want to say something that I will later regret because I don't know what I'm talking about. So Breach, as you noted, there are 22 separate civil lawsuits that allege sexual misconduct or assault. And that's what we know. The lawyers for both sides haven't been saying a whole bunch recently.
No.
So if that's the case, I'm not going to try to figure out what they should do legally or what Deshaun Watson, his future may hold from a legal perspective, because I'm the exact wrong person to talk to about that.
I would say this on the legal perspective that Mike Garofalo.
I just said I'm not a lawyer. Here comes Brenton.
I'm pointing out what I think is a very interesting fact about the legal perspective of it is that Mike Garofalo reported on NFL Network that Deshaun Watson is declining to sign a non-disclosure agreement, NDA is what they're called in the legal biz or just in the contract biz, and wants to not have that as part of this package, which is extremely rare for an accusee.
When you have a settlement. It's rare in settlement situations.
Well, right. When you do the settlement, all parties usually agree to an NDA, so you can't talk about it publicly. And if you do, you violate the financial stipulations, or there, you know, if in Deshaun Watson's case, there would be financial ramifications if he talked about it. He doesn't want to sign the NDA, and this is ostensibly because he wants to, once a settlement is reached, be able to give his side of the story. And that is apparently what's holding up these settlements. Now, the logic there is that, presumably the logic is, if you're Deshaun Watson, you want to be able to tell your side of the story because you don't want the NFL to come in and say, tell us what you know. He's like, I can't say anything. And they're like, all right, well, you're suspended 6 games. That's the presumed logic there. I don't know. The problem is, if you're these alleged victims, you don't want to file these lawsuits, go through this whole process, deal with the legal stuff surrounding all of this, and then settle for some financial amount, and then give Deshaun Watson the ability, after you signed an NDA, to go out and talk publicly about what happened in these cases.
Which then kind of tries the case through the media after already going through everything you already went through.
Correct. And, you know, in theory, it all depends on the specifics of what exactly is being discussed. But in theory, at that point, somebody, you know, he could use names, et cetera, et cetera. So that it becomes very tricky in that regard. My initial read on it when, because on Monday morning, all this stuff started getting leaked out in various NFL weekly columns. And when you know, it's being leaked out like this in multiple NFL Monday morning columns, you know, it's coming from the same source, right? And this is, the Texans are finally willing to trade Deshaun Watson for 3 first round picks. My initial inclination when those leaks started coming out, those reports started coming out, was that the Texans had been in touch with Watson's camp and had been informed, or been in touch with the NFL, one of the two or both of the two, and had been informed that there would likely not be, or there was some likely resolution coming in this matter. Talking to some people, maybe that's not quite the case, and this is still a little ways off. Deshaun Watson is reported to camp. He doesn't want to be fined. He has not been placed on the commissioner's exempt list, so the NFL has declined to use that on him. That's a little surprising. I guess I wonder, do you guys think that it's notable breach that the Texans, and it's clearly from the Texans, that the Texans leaked this out, that they're finally willing to trade Watson?
Well, I think, number one, it's interesting he's not on the commissioner's exempt list because the NFL is also investigating him. And if they thought, you know, this case doesn't look great, then you put him on the list so that everybody can kind of put that to the side and say, all right, Deshaun Watson doesn't have to be at training camp because he can't practice. You open up a roster spot for the Texans, and then you just leave him there until the legal situation plays itself out. That would be the easiest thing for the NFL to do, but the NFL hasn't done that. And so if you're a team that is interested in acquiring Watson, you're thinking, all right, well, it's good that the NFL has not put him on the commissioner's exempt list. Because look, the NFL does not want bad publicity. So if they really thought this was going to leave a black eye, they'd put him on that list right now. So I think they feel like they have to investigate some more. And so now you're the Texans. Why would you leak, you know, what you want? Because you're saying, look, we're open for business. But then to have less than 24 hours later, having, you know, Rusty Hardin, Deshaun Watson's attorney, come out and say, hey, yeah, there are these 10 criminal complaints that are also pending on top of the lawsuits. If I'm another team, that scares me a little bit, especially because I'm thinking there is no way I'm giving the Houston Texans 3 first round draft picks for a guy who has 10 criminal complaints pending against him. And so maybe the Texans leaked this just because they want to get the ball rolling on some dialogue, because I think we heard multiple times this offseason that there hadn't been, a lot of teams hadn't reached out to the Texans. So, you know, Houston can't trade them if no one's calling. And so by leaking that out, all of a sudden you have teams calling. I don't think Deshaun Watson is going to get traded for 3 first round picks. I think it's going to be lower than that. I think maybe 2 first round picks, but just because of the legal situation, I don't think the Texans are going to hit their asking price. It's like you go in and you say, I want $1 million salary. They bounce back with $50,000. And then, you know, you find like the middle ground. You just ask for something so exorbitant that the middle ground is something where you still feel good about what you're going to get. Because just because of the legal situation, I don't think the Texans actually think they're going to get 3 first round picks. Because unless the NFL comes out and says, this guy's clear, he's not going to get punished, I don't see as a team how you could risk 3 first round picks and give the Texans what they want to get Watson.
Plus, you're dealing with the Texans, who historically always get the short end of the stick when it comes to doing deals. Actually, I think you're right, Breach. I think it's going to be hard, but 2 first round picks is actually a lot. 2 first round picks in the players a lot. And for all the talking that front office did and the new coaching staff did about Deshaun Watson's our guy, there's a reason they signed Tyrod Taylor. There's a reason they drafted Davis Mills in the third round. They knew where this was going, even as we were sort of finding out day by day more women coming forward. Deshaun's showing up now, so he doesn't get fined. He's pulling the Marshawn. But I think I don't think he plays for the, I mean, he's not playing for the Texans. Like, he's not going to play for the Texans again. It's just a matter of when it actually happens and how much things heat up in terms of the teams that are interested. And we talked previously when we were talking about the Texans last week. The Eagles are interested. The Dolphins make some sense. I don't know where they're at in terms of Tua. The Broncos, Kareem Jackson, who played with Deshaun in Houston, is now in Denver, said on Aqib Talib's podcast, Deshaun told him he wants to go to Denver. And I think we mentioned Carolina previously, too, as a possible landing spot. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see. And Breach, you're breaking more news in terms of the previous quarterback conversation, I see.
Sorry.
Jake Dolagala has been released by the Green Bay. So, sorry, Central Connecticut State, you lost one.
And one other thing about Deshaun here is that, look, he showed up to training camp. But that's only because he doesn't want to get fined $50,000. I think the interesting thing we're going to see, though, is he going to actually practice? Because if you're the Texans and you do not plan on playing this season, I don't think there's a chance Deshaun Watson plays for the Texans.
Can you get fined for holding in? For showing
Well, no, that's what I'm saying is that, will the Texans just say, we don't want you to practice? Why don't you just...
I wouldn't practice if I were him. I'm not going out there getting hurt.
No, but if you're the Deshaun Watson shouldn't want to practice. But the Texans should say, we don't want you to practice because... you're our trade bait and we're not going to risk you getting injured because then, you know, no one's going to give us anything. And so I think both sides should want him to sit out. So I think that will be interesting. By the time you listen to this podcast, the Texans, I think, will have had their first practice of training camp. And so we'll know if Deshaun Watson is actually practicing.
Yeah, using that logic, though, he shouldn't even be. Don't even let him drive to work and have a chance for a car accident. Just stay at home. Sit in your house and just wait, and we'll make this happen.
Yeah, stay at home. We're not going to fine you. Don't worry about any of this. I do think that you're onto something, Breach, in terms of the finding the middle ground with the trade offer. If you're the Texans, you have to realize you're not getting three first-round picks and multiple players from Deshaun Watson. So that may be why this got leaked out is, okay, we do think there's got to be some resolution at some point. Because if you're Deshaun Watson, you don't want to miss this entire season. You know that you can find a landing spot. Somebody will be in, like, the Panthers will get back in on Deshaun Watson if he's cleared by the NFL. I firmly believe that.
Huh, interesting.
What's that?
That's interesting. I thought they were going to give Sam Darnold kick those tires and see what they got there.
I think they'd, hey, you guys want Sam Darnold back too? I don't think they would.
That's true.
I think Deshaun Watson is a unique talent. So they would be willing to operate a little bit differently and a little more aggressively if he is in fact cleared by the NFL. I just think there's going to be a lot of teams that will be willing to do that. So,
by the way, quickly, it's worth noting, you mentioned Garofalo earlier, Mike Garofalo. He mentioned last week, maybe the week before, that he didn't think the NFL was going to weigh in terms of any sort of suspension or anything, and at least before the start of the season. So that's also something to keep in mind when you're trying to figure out these trade things.
You know who we should ask? Debo, our resident Eagles fan.
Mm.
Knowing Deshaun Watson's legal situation right now, you don't know if he's going to be suspended. And as Ryan just mentioned, the NFL is not necessarily playing. They don't know if they're going to punish him. So he might play all 16 games. He might be suspended for 10 games. You literally have no idea how many first round picks would you give up for Deshaun Watson for the Eagles to get him for this season, not knowing how many games he's going to be available for.
My answer is zero. I want zero parts of Deshaun Watson.
Devo, you are the type of person, good-hearted, high moral fiber. I feel like, all right, so what do you think an average Eagle fan would give up? You know, the lower fiber version. Of this
All right, if you're going the opposite spectrum, there's a portion of the fan base, and I think it's going to cause a lot of division within in some of the fan base. But no, I do not want to root for Deshaun Watson. If we take everything away, then yeah, you're trading 3-4 picks, everything that they've collected over the past 6 months or over the past couple of years, honestly. But we can't just ignore everything that you guys have talked about for the past 15 minutes.
What is your reaction when you open your phone and you see that football team has traded 3 first round picks for Deshaun Watson?
I think he's still the second best quarterback in the division.
After Jalen Hurts?
After Dak, I argued with BMAC about this yesterday. I know you guys gave me some flack during the postseason when I had Deshaun down the list, just in terms of like pure football before all this other stuff came about. I actively do not want it to happen, and I hope they give Jalen Hurts a chance. If that does not work out, there's other options out there.
All right, I respect that. You'd be like okay with Aaron Rodgers? Nice.
Yeah. I mean, right? The situation with Rodgers, you know, I acknowledge that the Eagles are a rebuilding team. So for him, the fit there and the win now isn't as, you know, it's not as good of a destination for Rodgers where you can take time to build with someone like Watson because of his age.
No concern about the prickly personality, sort of like the Carson Wentz sort of didn't work out thing?
No. We can deal with prickly personalities. I think it's when other stuff gets brought into the mix that I think causes that division within the fan base. And a lot of people, I think, would have major issues with acquiring. And I don't think that's unique to the Eagles fan base. I think a lot of fan bases should have issues with targeting a trade at this point in time.
Where do you guys think Deshaun Watson ends up? Prediction time.
Well, Debo's talked me out of the Eagles train because they were reportedly, like, seriously, you know, because they have all the draft picks and stuff.
I think Howie Roseman is interested. Like, I think this is the type of move that's the reason why you kind of stockpile these assets back in the spring. So not to take anything away from, like, what the Eagles are planning, I'm just kind of sharing the fans' perspective.
I mean, I think it's the for me, Denver and Miami also seem like the most reasonable landing spots. I think if you're Miami and say Tua's been looking good the last week and a half or whatever, I don't think that changes your mind. It's sort of like Sam Darnold in Carolina. If you wanted Deshaun Watson before and you still want him, I think you go after him.
Sorry, Debo, but I think it's Philly. I just think they have so much draft ammo that you come in and you say, all right, it's an open competition. Have Jalen Hurts at least give him a shot, go up against Deshaun Watson. Watson probably wins, but I just think with two first-round picks in 2022 and probably three first-round picks thanks to the Carson Wentz trade, I just think they have so much ammo that they're going to make a move.
God loves Carson Wentz.
I think the sleeper could be the Dolphins.
Sleeper.
They got Tua. I think Tua. I know people are out on Tua going into the season.
Me.
If you're the Texans, don't you kind of want Tua back on a cheap rookie deal to see what he's got?
No.
Why? You don't know
why? I would rather have Sam Darnold.
Tua and two first round picks next year for Watson.
I'd have three first round picks, I think.
How you went south on Tua?
He maybe look. I don't want, I mean, the people have written in about this. I just said this while you were giggling about something else that you weren't paying attention. Tua may actually be good this. Maybe good about
that. Ryan can only support one Alabama quarterback at a time. And right now, Mac Jones has all his support.
All my eggs are in the Mac Jones basket. No, I think Tua, now that he's a year further past the hip surgery, has a chance to be potentially better, but he just didn't look good last year. That's the reality. So I wonder where the organization is on him in terms of the coaching staff in the front office. But if they like what he's doing, maybe they don't think about Deshaun. But I just said before you said it, Brent, that I still think they would probably certainly think about it in much the same way the Panthers would think about it with Sam Darnold on the roster.
Oh, I think the Panthers would flip Sam Darnold. And I mean, all right, so if you're to Breach's point, so if this is the way, you know, how it works in negotiations. I mean, if somebody leaks out, this is what we want for him, they're willing to take, I don't know, about 75% of that. So yeah. They said they want a couple of players. I don't think the Panthers are giving up Brian Burns or Jeremy Chinn or anything like that. I do think they would. So Sam Darnold and two first round picks. So the Texans do that.
What if the Texans want one first round pick and Christian McCaffrey?
I'd do that in a heartbeat.
For Deshaun Watson. Brenton, you think they'd do it?
For Christian McCaffrey, Sam Darnold, and what?
No, Sam Darnold, just Christian McCaffrey and a first round pick.
I would hope the Texans wouldn't do that, but the Panthers would do that in a heartbeat.
Right.
I'm quite confident saying that. Cap space be damned.
Yeah, why? What's the allure of Christian McCaffrey? I mean, he's great, but he's not healthy all the time, and you know, he can find a running back to do 65% of what he was doing, still be successful.
Agreed. I don't think let's say it's McCaffrey, Darnold, two first round picks. So the Texans do that.
All of that? Good Lord, that's a haul. The Panthers are giving up a ton.
Darnold's on a 1-year contract. McCaffrey, you're unloading McCaffrey's salary. And you would think with
two first round picks, though?
You would think with Deshaun Watson in play, your two first round picks are probably, you know, you're hoping that they're not going to be in the bottom half of the, you know, first round. Top half, excuse me.
I think no matter what happens, I think we're going to see a trade with Deshaun Watson, I would say, before mid-August.
It's funny you say that because Quincy Avery, his personal quarterback's coach, said that he thought days ago he might have already been traded. It hasn't happened yet, clearly. He told Adam Schefter that. So, and clearly he's talking more to Deshaun than we are. So he feels like something's going to happen.
We'll do the over-under except before or after August 15th. That's the – what do you guys think?
I feel like the over just because nothing's happened since – January, but maybe things start to accelerate in terms of what we know.
The problem with August 15th, and I mean you say this, but it's August 1st on what, Sunday? Saturday, is that the problem with August 15th is, you know, at that point, you were asking Deshaun Watson to learn your offense and run your football team in a matter of 2 weeks.
That's right. Fine. Well, and that's why I think it before August 15th is because if you want Deshaun Watson to be your quarterback this year, you need to get him in training camp as soon as possible.
Jimmy Garoppolo got traded on Halloween and he won the last five games.
But he also sat out for a month to learn the 49ers system.
My point is August 15th ain't Halloween. He can figure it out.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, you can fashion an offense for Deshaun Watson and Watson can pick it up pretty quickly in the span of a
couple. Let me put you this way. Who would you rather have, Deshaun Watson starting August 15th or Jared Goff for the entire summer so he can prepare?
It's Deshaun Watson.
Are you saying the Lions should trade Jared Goff for Deshaun Watson?
Straight up. No questions asked.
I mean, the Texans will do it. You pull the trigger. You're a couple first-round picks. Give us Watson. Again, the timeline is tricky. It's because we don't know. But when you hear Quincy Avery's telling Schefter he's expecting a trade, the Texans are floating out what they want. It does feel like.
Well, I feel like Quincy's probably talking to Sean. He ain't talking to the Texans.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. But, like, if these people are expecting a trade, if a trade feels imminent, doesn't it feel like, because they can't trade him until the lawsuits are wrapped up. I would think that would be crazy.
I don't know. Maybe that's
Quavos to trade for Deshaun Watson before the lawsuits are wrapped up, especially with the new lawsuits popping out.
I wonder why Deshaun would float out the no NDA thing. I wonder if that's some sort of tactic to sway potential teams into thinking that maybe this thing is going one way instead of another.
Could be. Could also be a situation where Deshaun is trying to let other teams know why this situation isn't resolved yet. It's not listed on the, I mean, I just, I was going to ESPN because I believe they were the ones who first reported it. Not because I get my news from ESPN, but it wasn't listed on the page of ESPN, which is a little surprising.
In fact,
it was Rusty Harden, Deshaun Watson's lawyer, just coming out and kind of, giving that information out. So it does, Brinson, I actually like that theory that he's trying to put it out there. He's trying to air all of the dirty laundry and saying, this is the situation right now. We think that this is under control. We think this is all going to get settled. You should come get Deshaun. I think that was him telling other teams, come make a trade.
Yeah.
I'm not sure why else you would do that interview if you're Deshaun Watson's lawyer.
Yeah. Well, according to Breach, we'll know in just over 2 weeks.
Under 2 weeks.
All right. We will have lots more Deshaun Watson talk, I am sure. Plus more training camp talk. Things are heating up now. We'll be back tomorrow with more training camp news and notes. In the meantime, subscribe, rate, and review. For John and Ryan, I'm Will. We'll see you guys later.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.